In chapter 1 of verse 1 is of Joshua says this: after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you that I will, that what I promised Moses, wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land I have given you." Amen. Somebody, how many of you know that that didn't just die with Moses and Joshua, that that stands for you today, that everywhere you put your foot, God is willing to give you. Amen. And so let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we come before you this morning. God, I thank you for this body. I thank you for this house. I thank you for the lives that represent Reach Church, God. And I thank you for their hunger. God, I thank you for their desire to live out your word. God, I thank you that in your word, as we read it, God, that it never returns void, God, that it always accomplishes what it's sent out to do. So, Lord, I thank you that your word would fall on hungry hearts this morning. Lord Jesus, that we would live out your word the rest of this week, God. I thank you that you would give us the faith to cross over. God, I thank you this morning more than anything that you'd be made more famous today than you were yesterday. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. 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 And so when you read this, you realize that after the death of Moses, so Moses dies. So what is that significance? That significance is that Moses was Joshua's mentor. So just like we were talking about, Paul was Timothy's mentor, Moses was Joshua's mentor. Well, guess what? Paul is gone. Guess what? Moses is gone. And now it's time for this person who's been mentored to start stepping into their new assignment. And I want to prophetically proclaim to you this morning that I believe that it's a new season for you to step into something that God has for you. That you've got there is a new season coming. There is a new thing that you're going to have to step into. And I want you to know that you are well able. And so if you can imagine, though, the mentality of Joshua that he's facing, and for 40 years, he's been told that they're going to get this promised land. For 40 years, he's been told he's going to receive something. And now the one that he's been serving and he's been living his life for, wandering in the desert, wandering and wandering and wandering and wondering when they're going to get to their promised land. Right? And I can't help but if I'm Joshua that I would begin to allow a little bit of doubt, a little bit of uncertainty to begin to be deposited into my life. Can I get an amen? I think that I would be a little apprehensive to believe if this is really going to happen. If you're honest with yourself this morning, I think you could be a little apprehensive that what God said he would do is really going to happen in your life. And I believe that you have to be willing to go from a wanderer to a warrior. There was a shift that Joshua had to say, okay, I can be a wanderer, and I can continue to do what we've been doing, or I can begin to hear God's word and I can begin to step into something that God has for me. And in that, I have to become a warrior. In that, I have to become, I know, ladies, that doesn't sound like real fun, but as the guys were like, yeah, woo, hair just automatically started growing on some of you young guys. When you heard that word, it's like, oh my gosh, I have 4 hairs, right? The girls are like, that is so gross. But this is the deal, is that you have to move from being a wanderer to a warrior. If you want to possess what God has for you, know that it's going to cost you. And is it worth the price? There is something that God wants to do in you. And as long as you keep allowing your identity to be wrapped up in Moses, you will never stop and you will never step into being a Joshua. See, I think it could have easily allowed Joshua to become identified as Moses. Because see, if you're under anybody too long, you begin to take on their traits. You begin to become who they are. And what God was trying to get Moses to see is understand that Moses is dead, Joshua. It's time for you to be Joshua. That there is an anointing on your life, just like there was on Moses' life. Come on, look at somebody this morning and say, you're anointed. Some of y'all don't even understand that yet, but you'll get it. And so we see here that Moses dies, okay? And now Joshua has been given this responsibility to take all of these people into the promised land. And I have to say this, is that there are people tied to your willingness to step into your season. That just like Moses was responsible for all those, whenever he died, that responsibility shifted from Moses to Joshua. And so if you can imagine Joshua looking back at all of the past, looking at his life and seeing what they did not accomplish. Super encouraging, right? Wow, we've gone 40 years going nowhere. Awesome. How many of y'all feel like that? 40 years going nowhere. I've been believing God for this for a year and I've gotten nowhere. I've been believing God for 5 years and I've gotten nowhere. I wish there were some honest people in here this morning that helped me preach. And so we read those and we see that God is beginning to speak to Moses. And he says this in verse 3. I promise. Those are big words when they come from God. They may not be big words when they've come from a friend, when they've come from a coworker, when they've come from a family member. But I want you to know that when God says something to you and he says, I promise, it means something. And God speaks to Joshua and he says, I promise you what I have promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on the land I have given you. What's my point? This is that don't allow past progress to determine your future promises. That we can so easily allow what we did not accomplish in one season to identify us and mark us for what we are not going to get in our future season. And so many times we can allow the past to define us and remind us of what we are not worthy of obtaining. If you can imagine the mentality of Joshua's being told that you are going to receive the promised land, but that's what I've been hearing for 40 years. It's not going to happen. And you can allow the voice of doubt to override the promise that God has spoken. And I tell you what, if you give more energy to doubt, that's probably what's going to happen. Because God, the Bible says that we live by faith, right? And so you have to be willing to step out on God's promise if you're going to receive it. See, some things, and notice it says that Joshua was taking on a responsibility because somebody died. And let me say this, is that loss doesn't define your destiny. Loss could have easily, well, Moses is dead, you guys aren't getting into the promised land. But loss did not define Joshua's destiny. And I think that we can allow, not necessarily literal loss, but we can allow things that we've lost as we've gone through life, bad decisions, it was a loss, caused something. We can allow loss to define our destiny. But at the same time, this, some things have to die before you ever get the privilege to move into the next season. Some things we have to be willing to let go of and walk away from before we're ever able to walk into the next season that God has for us. And that is a painful process. It's quiet. Don't make me. He says that I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you put your foot, I will give you. Now, how many of you know that that's sometimes hard when you hear it in the Old Testament to believe it for right now? You mean everywhere I walk in Centerton that it's going to get, God's going to let me have the whole city? That's not what he's saying. He's saying that wherever I've directed you and you walk into it, I'll give you. That there is a destiny that lines up and there is a purpose that lines up with your life. And when you begin to take ground, God gives you more. And God is basically telling Joshua, look, if you will step out, I will provide. I cannot provide in an area that you are unwilling to step towards, right? So provision can only be obtained through the steps you take in obedience. So there is a level of obedience that is required on your behalf for you to take on this next thing that God has for your life. God is in the business of giving you more. Right? He's in the business of giving you more, not for your benefit. It's for those that need it behind you. And that there is a provision that God wants to provide, but you've got to be willing to be obedient enough to step in the direction, even when you don't fully understand it. So let me go on a little bit more and read this. And it goes on in verse 4. And it says, from the Negev, if that's a real word, wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Some of you all need to write that in your Bible. And you need to remind yourself that when you feel abandoned and when you feel like you are never going to make it, God is with you. Then it goes on and it says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land that I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, you have to understand the context of what's about to happen. What's about to happen is God is about to tell Moses to cross the Jordan. And on the other side of that Jordan, this river, now in certain times of the season, the Jordan River was almost dry. You could literally walk across it and there wasn't a big deal. It wasn't very difficult to get across it. But in this particular season, it was over a mile wide and over its banks. So the task went from being really easy had it been in a different season to being very difficult because of the current season. And so many times we can look at something and say, God, if it would have just been here, I would have done it. But then God wouldn't have gotten the glory for what he did through your life, because when you would have stepped into then, it would have been you. But because it is what it is and the season it is, God is about to get glory because of what you're willing to step into now. And so God is telling Joshua, hey, I want you to know that your promised land is just on the other side of that flood. And I want you to go through the flood. And so Joshua has a responsibility. Okay, I can take all of these people and I can see if God's really real or and drown these people, which may not be a bad idea because they complain a lot. Or we can see if God's into doing miracles. And I think that same thing should be in our lives today. That maybe we should give God a chance to do a miracle in our lives. Right? I mean, maybe has God stopped doing miracles? Has God stopped parting Red Seas? Has God stopped healing and raising the dead and healing blind eyes and allowing those that couldn't walk to walk? Maybe we should just begin to contend to see God do a miracle. See, crossing over is the reality you have to face if you want to see the next season. Look, it is something that Joshua had to literally face in order to get to the next season that God called him to. And there are things right now that you are facing that are standing in front of you and they are raging. The flood is high. It's as far as you can see. All I can see is water, God. All I can see is water. And you keep telling God about how big of a mess you're in. About how big of a miracle you need. God is aware of your miracle. God is aware of your need. What he needs you to do is to put your foot in the water. This is what he told Joshua. He told Joshua to put, he says, begin to step into the river. And this is what happened. The Bible says that as soon as he stepped foot into the water, that the water began to separate and it went back some 18 miles. This wasn't just a miracle where it's like, oh, there's just a pathway where we can get through. Oh, water's touching my back. Oh, no. He pushed the water 18 miles back to let you know that when I do something, I got you. Look, you can't possess what you were unwilling to pursue. So many of us want a miracle, but we are unwilling to pursue. We are unwilling to step out of our middle because we've been in the middle and it's starting to feel comfortable. It's becoming predictable. Well, actually, I could almost live here. I didn't like it when I first got here, but I could live here if I had to. Please don't allow that mentality. I mean, we could just be wanderers for 40 more years. I mean, it wasn't bad. It was kind of terrible the first 2 or 3 years, but I mean, we've done it for 40. Let's just do it for another 40. It's the trick of the enemy to get you to settle and to not contend for your next promise. There's a scripture in Psalms 46 in verse 10, and it says this. It says, surrender your anxiety. Be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. I am the God above all the nations, and I will exalt throughout the whole earth. See, I believe that our anxiety and our worry and our perception of what God is asking us to do can get in the way of our pursuit. Joshua could have easily said, but God, but God, but God, but God, but God. But you know what God said? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. He said it 4 times in 10 verses. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And I believe that God has not stopped speaking that. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Where you're weary, be strong. Where you're fearful, be courageous. Notice that he doesn't say, hey, trust me, trust me, trust me. He says, be strong and courageous. In other words, he puts it on Joseph to allow what he's going through and processing in his mind to have to be confronted with the faithfulness of who his God is. In verse 5, it goes on, it says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. That's an incredible promise. That no matter what you guys do in life, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're facing, no one will be able to come against you. And then it goes on, it says, for I will be with you as I was with Moses, and I will not fail you or abandon you. What's the point? This is the point, that God will step into what you're willing to step towards. That God is waiting on you to step into, to step towards something. And as you do that, God steps in to your world, into your situation, into your season, into your situation. And he begins to back you up and bless it. But God is waiting for you to step towards what he's been calling you to. What is that? Is that a dream? To start your own business? Is that a dream to have your family, to find a spouse, to get out of that financial situation, to fall in love with God on a deeper level? What is that for you that you feel like God is calling you towards, that he's waiting to step into? Imagine this, that for me, being a father and knowing Jaylee, that if there was this desire for me to see Jaylee step into something significant, and that I was, the contingency was that I can't bless her until she is willing to step towards it. Do you know how hard that would be as a father? To not be able to bless her with something that I want to give her. And so many of us are looking at the father the wrong way. We're looking at God like he doesn't want to give us something. And God is waiting for you to step into something so that he can give you what he desires to give you. See, at the end of the day, what's not done in faith doesn't involve God. I never want to live my life where it doesn't involve God, where it doesn't take God to build the church. If you think that we're building this church by any other way than by faith, you are sadly mistaken. The fact that this church is packed out right now in the middle of July, it is not because of my preaching or our worship. It is because God is on the move and he's doing something significant in Centerton, Arkansas. And he says, this is a church that will be a lighthouse. I will put my presence here and people will come from all over to see it. That is why it's happening. And I wonder what God is wanting to do in your world, but you've got to involve God in it. Because we as humans have this tendency to say, look what I did. Anybody else do that? Man, look what I'm doing. Look what I've done. Look at my house. Look what I've built. Look what I have. And so see, it's real easy to start taking credit for something that God's been doing in your life. And God isn't a big guy. He's really not into not getting the credit. God likes the credit. And he does it through faith. God does things through faith. And I believe that there are some things that God is wanting to have you cross over into because you're willing to believe him for it. Not because you could get across the Jordan by yourself, but because the moment you were willing to step into something that was bigger than you, God stepped in and says, hey, I got this. Let me push this water back for you a little bit so you can get all your good stuff, get all your things that you need through it. How many know that the pace God has set can't be contingent on failure? Right? Most of us, our pace is contingent on failure. Well, I'll do this if, what's the odds? Well, some of you accountants you've already projected the things that God's asking you. You've got a sheet, you've got it all put down, what the percentage is. Well, it's not looking good. I don't think we should do this. But God. See, so many of us, we err on the side of safety, and faith isn't safe. Faith is crazy. Do you know you all are absolutely insane that you believe that a Jesus that you've never seen got on a cross, got in a tomb, got out of the tomb, came back again, living in 40 days on the earth, but you can't believe God for a miracle today? Do you see how the culture has inundated us with safety? And God is saying, you need to get back to your roots. When you first believed me, when I got on a cross and I died for you and I went into a tomb and I came out of the tomb, you need to believe that God again. See, we need to begin to believe God. We cannot allow what we do to be contingent on failure. Joshua and them, they would have never stepped into what God had for them had that been safe. There was nothing safe about it, except for they were the safest when they were in the will of God. And I want you to know that you are the safest when you're in the will of God. You don't have to understand it to step out in faith. But don't allow the rate of your life to be contingent on, will this fail or succeed? Look, if God is in it, it's going to succeed. There's nothing wrong with failure being an option. I'm preaching to myself right now. Not you, preaching to me. Right? There's nothing wrong with failure being an option when I understand the faithfulness of my God. See, something that I could imagine Joshua feeling is this internal insecurity. This thing that he's probably not willing to let out to all the other people because he's supposed to be their leader. Right? He's got to have it all together. But if I could imagine the weight of Joshua and he's carrying, and there's this internal insecurity saying, I'm not as old as Moses. I'm not as seasoned. I couldn't grow a beard as good as him. I don't know if these guys are going to follow me. I mean, I'm receding a little bit, and Moses had a full head of hair. And I can't imagine how it could have been so easy for Joshua to allow these internal insecurities to hinder his ability to believe God. And what I'm saying is this, is I just wonder how many of these internal insecurities that are on the inside of you that you're yet to share even with your spouse that are hindering you from stepping out for that dream job or for that whatever it may be. Man, I'm really fearful. I believe that God has really put this in my heart, but I don't really want to let it go because you're afraid of somebody shooting it down. If it's God, it will happen. But we can so easily allow these internal insecurities to keep us paralyzed from the promise. What's keeping you from your promise? Keep in mind, it's not always bad things. Oftentimes, it's really good things that are almost like the promise, but not the promise. Look, the steps you take are never bigger than the God you serve. Know that the steps that God is calling you to, they're never bigger than the God you serve. God is a big God. He's got you. You are as strong and courageous as you are obedient. How many of you know that it's one thing for somebody to be telling you that you're strong and courageous, but you're only going to find out how strong and courageous you really are when you're obedient. Had Joshua been told, hey, God told me I'm strong and courageous. Well, it was contingent on his obedience. That God could not show that he was strong and courageous until he was willing to stand up to a river that was bigger than him. It was wider than everything he thought it would be. It's higher and it's deeper and it's raging way more than what he anticipated. And much like your life, much like your situation, much like your circumstance, that God has you standing up against something and it's way bigger than you thought it would be. It's taken you way longer than you thought it would take you. And will you take your foot back out of the river? Say, this is just too big. I can't do this. Or will you take another step in? Because the Bible says that when they put their foot in, as they begin to wade into the river. See, sometimes we need to be in it a little bit before God does something. Sometimes we have to be in it a little bit more so there's a little bit more risk, a little more option of failure before God says, I got this. Just kidding, man. I got you. Right? We want to put our foot into something and be like, yeah. And sometimes he does that. And sometimes he makes you wade out in it a little bit. Joshua, I hope you're right, man. It's getting a little deep. He just had to trust God that what he heard, God would do. Really quickly, as I close, I want you to see something. It's so important. It says this, do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. See, I believe this is where many of us miss it. As we fall prey to a counterfeit option. And when you fall prey to a counterfeit option, you lose sight of your destiny. It says, do not deviate to the left or to the right, signifying that there were many options, but one true way. And maybe you and your spouse, like me and Alicia, I mean, when we're believing God for something, we will begin to talk and we'll begin to say, well, what about this way? And we're like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. And we're like, whoa, wait a minute. And we will either talk ourselves into the wrong way, or we will say, no, we're going to believe God for the right way. And let me just tell you, church, this church was started almost 2 years ago on faith, saying, God, I would like for it to go this way. And God spoke to us and said, no, you're going to do it this way. And the church has succeeded and become what it is because we took the right way and not another option, not a counterfeit option. And I believe that the same requirements that are on your pastors are on you, that God is calling you to not take a counterfeit option, to not settle for something that maybe looks like it, that'll get you halfway to your destiny. Jesus, what did Paul say? I have fought the fight. I have ran the race. I have finished it. Why? Because he didn't deviate from the left or the right for something less than his full potential. The story goes on, and Joshua ends up getting across this river. And then as soon as he gets across, he's faced with armies that he has to beat to take over the land. What is my point? My point is this, is when you get out of one promised land, there's another giant you're going to have to face. There's another thing that you're going to have to believe God for. You're never going to get to the place where you say, okay, man, I've got it. Well, no more faith required. Wrong. If you're living your life for Jesus, faith is always going to be required. If you would stand. In verse 8, it talks about meditating on God's word. And I believe that this is probably the most significant thing. And this is why I want to do it in closing. Many of us feel like we've heard God's voice, but we don't have the faith to believe it. Does that make sense? We feel like we've heard it, but we're struggling with the faith to believe it. And this is why God gave us this word, because this word builds our faith to believe what we heard God say. It reconfirms, God, you did call me to step out like a crazy person and believe you. And there are things that God is going to ask you to have to step, you're going to have to step out into, and he's going to confirm it through his word. God's got you. God's got you. His word will come through. I pray that you're willing to cross over. That God would put enough faith in you this morning to leave saying, I'm not satisfied until I cross over. You realize all those 40 years that they wandered would have been in vain had they not finally stepped out at some point in faith and said, I'm willing to cross. You could look back at all of your past and you could look at all the decisions you've made and said, I can't believe, I can't believe, I can't believe. But there is a Jordan standing in front of you and God is asking you, saying, will you believe? Will you believe? All across this place this morning, if that's you and you know that God is calling you to step out in faith for something, that there's a significant decision that God is calling you to, that you're standing in front of a Jordan. You need the faith to step out. You need to hear God's word. You need to hear confirmation. If that's you this morning, if you would, just slip your hand up real quick. And I just want to see who you are this morning. Thank you for those hands all over. Come on, if you would, just keep them raised. If your spouse is with you, grab their hand. If you see somebody who's got their hand raised and there's not somebody next to them, just put your hand on their shoulder and just begin to pray with me. Father, I thank you this morning for Joshua. I thank you that there was a man in the Word that was crazy enough to believe you. So Lord, I thank you for every situation, every circumstance that you're putting in our hearts to believe you for, God, that you would back it up with your Word, that you would confirm it whatever way necessary, God. God, that we would begin to wade out in faith for whatever God is calling us to know you more, to believe you for something significant, to take the dream back off the shelf, to begin to live with intentionality, with my purpose. Whatever it is, God, I thank you. You know what they are right now. I just pray your Spirit, God, begin to minister. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, maybe you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, and we want to give you an opportunity, not just to pray a prayer, but to experience a relationship with a God who loves you. But maybe you've prayed the prayer before, you didn't live it out, it was just something that you did to do it. But this morning you say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. I want to give my life to him. I want to commit my life to him. I want to get to know him. I want him to get to know me. If that's you this morning and you agree with that, if you would just slip your hand, you say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. If you would just slip your hand up real quick and you can set it right back down. I want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life. If you would pray this prayer with me, just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that he rose again on the third day. I ask you, Jesus, to be my Lord and my Savior. I ask you, Lord, to reveal the destiny and the purpose you have for my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.